जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरदारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरदारी, यशोरनंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोरनंदन व्रज जन रंजन, जमुना थीरवन चारी, जमुना थीरवन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, reading from third canto, chapter 13, which is entitled The Appearance of Lord Varaha. And we're reading text 32 to 34. So we'll read text 34 together. I'll read 32 and 33. The Sanskrit, and then we'll read text 34 together, which has the purport.
Jaganarundanamasaya vrikkamam salilayebhyam mirgaradivambasi tadarakta pankat kitaganda tundo yatha gajendro jagatim vibidan.
Translation. Thereupon, Lord Boar killed the demon within the water, just as a lion kills an elephant. The cheeks and tongue of the Lord became smeared with the blood of the demon, just as an elephant becomes reddish from digging in the purple earth. Text 33.
Tamala nilam sitadanta kotya Chmam ukta pantam gajalila yanga pragyaya badanjalayo nuvakai virinchi mukya upatastur isham.
Then the Lord, playing like an elephant, suspended the earth on the edge of his curved white tusks. He assumed a bluish complexion like that of a tamal tree, and thus the sages, headed by Brahma, could understand him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offered respectful obeisances unto him. Text 34.
Risha uchuhu jitam jitam te jita yagya bhavana Trayim tanum svam paridunvate nama.
Yatroma garte shunile yuryadayas.
Tasmai namakarana sukarayate.
Vishaya uchuhu.
Jitam jitam te jita yagya bhavana.
Trayam tanum svam paridunvate nama.
Yat roma garte shunilyo radayas.
Tasmai namakarana sukarayate.
Rishaya uchuhu.
Jitam jitam te jita yagya bhavana.
Trayam tanum svam paridunvate namaha.
Yat roma garteshu nilyo radayas.
Tasmai namakarana sukarayate.
Tasmai namakarana sukarayate.
Jitam jitam te jita yagya bhavana.
Tasmai namakarana sukarayate.
Jitam jitam te jita yagya bhavana.
Trayam tanum svam paridunvate namaha.
Yad roma garte shunilyo radayas.
Tasmai namakarana sukarayate.
Tasmai namakarana sukarayate.
Rishaya uchuhu. The glorified sages uttered.
Jitam.
All glories.
Jitam.
All victories.
Te.
Unto you.
Ajita.
O unconquerable one.
Yagya bhavana,
one who is understood by performance of sacrifice.
Trayim,
personified Vedas.
Tanum,
such a body.
Svam,
own.
Paridunvate,
shaking.
Namaha,
all obeisances. Yat, whose, Roma, hairs, Garteshu, in the holes, Niliyu, submerged, Adaya, the oceans, Tasmai, unto him, Namaha, offering obeisances, Karanasukaraya, unto the hog form assumed for reasons. Te, unto you. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. All the sages uttered with great respect, O unconquerable enjoyer of all sacrifices, all glories and all victories unto you. You are moving in your form of the personified Vedas, and in the hair holes of your body, the oceans are submerged. For certain reasons, to uplift the earth, you have now assumed the form of a boar. Purport. The Lord can assume any form he likes, and in all circumstances, he is the cause of all causes. Since his form is transcendental, he is always the supreme personality of Godhead, as he is in the causal ocean in the form of Mahavishnu. Innumerable universes generate from the holes of his bodily hairs, and thus his transcendental body is the Vedas personified. He is the enjoyer of all sacrifices, and he is the unconquerable supreme personality of Godhead. He is never to be misunderstood to be other than the Supreme Lord because of his assuming the form of a boar to lift the earth. That is the clear understanding of sages and great personalities like Brahma and other residents of the higher planetary systems. Om Ajnanti Madandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatan Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dino Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Beg for the blessings of the assembled devotees. May our words and our consciousness be aligned with Guru Parampara. May Shishi Radha Shyam Sundar be pleased by all of us coming together hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. May all the devotees be benefited by hearing the glories of the Lord and his devotees in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. So this is Canto 3, Chapter 13, entitled The Appearance of Lord Varaha. We have three verses here. I'll just read the English. Text 32. Thereupon, Lord Bor killed the demon within the water, just as a lion kills an elephant. The cheeks and tongue of the Lord became smeared with the blood of the demon, just as an elephant becomes reddish from digging in the purple earth. Then the Lord, playing like an elephant, suspended the earth on the edge of his curved white tusks. He assumed a bluish complexion, like that of a tamal tree, and thus the sages, headed by Brahma, could understand him to be the supreme personality of Godhead and offered respectful obeisances unto the Lord. All the sages uttered with great respect, O unconquerable enjoyer of all sacrifices, all glories and all victories unto you. You are moving in your form of the personified Vedas, and in the hair holes of your body the oceans are submerged. For certain reasons, to uplift the earth, you have now assumed the form of a boar. So this begins the prayers coming from the rishis in the higher planetary systems when they actually witness the appearance of Lord Varahadev. So this is, we're hearing about the incarnation of the Lord. Understanding the incarnations, the avatars of the Supreme Lord, in and of itself is a great science. In the conversation, the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami. This is called Sanatana Shiksha, the instructions to Sanatana Goswami. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke for about 10 days in Varanasi. And there he also described, he went through all the different avatars, incarnations of the Lord. This Sanatana Shiksha is very valuable. We can read in Chaitanya Charitamrita this section. It's one of the highest, most profound theological presentations known in this world. It is quite incredible. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he actually mentions this in one of his prayers. He wrote a poem or a prayer after he chanted 1 billion names of Krishna. Then he wrote this poem, Dushtamana, My Wicked Mind. It's a prayer to his own mind. And he says, Oh, my wicked mind, what kind of devotee are you? You're not a devotee. You know, our main problem in spiritual life is not that we are fallen, it's that we're dishonest. You know, the mind is not a devotee. The mind is not a lover of Krishna, but it has to be trained. We keep placing after hearing good instructions from Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, and when faith awakens, we begin to place the mind, even though it doesn't want to go, at the lotus feet of Krishna, hearing, chanting, remembering, associating with devotees, and gradually the mind gets purified, and eventually, when it's purified, then it becomes the servant of the Atma. Where right now it's usurped the power, and the mind has its own desires, position, but it's meant to be a servant of the Atma. This body is also a servant of the Atma. The intelligence also is a servant of the Atma. The Atma is the master, the true master, meaning master in the sense of everything that we are, but servant of Krishna, of course. So when he prays to his mind, it's not that we have to try to figure out how to perfect our minds. We don't perfect the mind. We surrender the mind to Krishna. You know, we have to do a little bit of work on ourselves, but we can never do work in such a way that we perfect ourselves. So that real transition from the material mind to the Atma is a surrendering of the mind. Oh, my mind, and we're being honest about it. So he says, oh, my mind, you are so wicked, you are not a devotee. So what does he recommend doing, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur? He says, Prabhu Sanatane, Paramajatane Dilo Shikshadilo. My mind, you have no attraction to the Lord, but just hear the instructions from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatan Goswami. Just hear that very carefully. And your mind will begin to become drawn, will be pervaded by what pure devotional service is. Hear that conversation. Hear those instructions very carefully. So, Sanatan Shiksha. And there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he talks about the different avatars. There are six kinds of avatars. There's the Purusha avatars, the Leela avatars, the Guna avatars, Manvantara avatars, Yuga avatars, and Shaktyavesh avatars. And so Varaha Dev is in what category of avatar? Anyone? This is Purusha avatars we know, of course, is the Paramatma. Paramatma means Mahavishnu, Garbhadakashai Vishnu, and Chirudakashai Vishnu. All of that is considered the Paramatma, the Supreme Soul, the controller and regulator of this whole, all the universes. So that's Purusha avatars. There's Guna avatars, we know. Right, Vishnu, Brahma, Shiva, Manvantara avatars. Within a day of Brahma, there's one Manu who rules. And with each Manu also comes an avatar that appears. That's Manvantara avatar. Yuga avatars. For every Yuga, a different avatar appears. And Shaktyavesh, these are also avatars of the Lord that are specifically empowered to display one of the Lord's particular opulences. So Varahadev is in the category of Leela avatar. The Das avatar, these 10 avatars we glorify and sing about, they're unlimited Leela avatars. They're like waves in the ocean. But primarily, we're aware of 10 and glorify 10 again and again. So Leela avatar. And Prabhupada gives a nice description of Leela avatar in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, Leela avatar means the Supreme Lord who comes in a wonderful form performs a variety of inconceivable activities without making any special endeavor. Without making any special endeavor. I feel like that's Prabhupada's translation of the word Leela. It's playful. Leela means play. You see Varahadev here. They say, actually, that pigs, hogs, they like to play in the water. So in this pastime also, Varaha jumps into the Garbhadaka ocean. It's playful. This is an amazing quality of God that not much of the world knows about. He's all powerful, of course. He's controlling everything. But how many people have heard that he's also very playful? And even when he appears in this world, he comes in this very strange form, but it's wonderful. It's kind of humorous. It's amusing. It's charming. All the sages are watching. They can't believe it. Is this Lord Narayan himself? Finally, they realize this is Lord Narayan. They begin to offer these prayers. You are that same Supreme Lord where all the universes are coming from, Mahavishnu. So, play. He's playing. This is an incredible. I was listening to this. There's one popular... what would you call him? Popular voice in the world today. He was a psychiatrist, a psychologist, and also he's a teacher, a professor. But anyway, maybe you've heard of him. His name is Jordan Peterson. But he is very interesting. He gives a little, he shares in one place I was hearing that he had something of a vision of heaven, he called it. Some kind of experience. He's a very deep person. You know, if you go deep, I always say this, but if you go deep enough in anything, you will come to God because God is behind everything. If you go deep enough into even something like sports or comedy or mathematics. You see, people who go very deep in mathematics, they start to realize the wonders. They're just, you know, it's something about it. It doesn't do it for me, that's for sure, mathematics. But people who go very deep, the equations, and they start to see the beauty of it. They speak in that language. It's beautiful, the perfect equation. If you go deep enough into music, anything. So he went very deep into the human psyche. That was his thing. Very deep into the mind of people. And, you know, deeper and deeper. And you can see at this point in his career, after many, many years and working as a clinical psychiatrist, that now all of his thoughts and the books that he's beginning to write are now moving towards the direction of God. Because he's realizing very deep in there is this, there's evil, there's a potential for evil, but also there's a potential for goodness. And he's moved by that. Now more and more of his realizations are coming in the direction that there must be a supreme God. There must be, good must be the highest truth, goodness. So anyway, he shares something of a vision of heaven, and this is how he describes it. This is interesting for us to hear as devotees. He says, it's hard to describe, but I experienced something like people were there. It was relationships, and they were eternally playing. They were eternally playing. It was beautiful. There were all these exchanges with these people, and they weren't working hard. They weren't struggling. It was just like play. You know, this is like lila, means play. And he said that it wasn't like the place of perfection. You know, because the way he was thinking of perfection was something static. It's perfect. It's done with. But he said, no, there was movement, there was exchanges, things were happening, there were different, you know, it was like life, like our life here, but it was eternal play. Everyone was playing, and everything was joyful, and everything was loving. This is Goloka Vrindavan. This is our conception of the spiritual world, and someone on his own, kind of what he described as a vision, but he basically said, nothing. I can't think of anything higher than this. When you think of heaven, if you think of the greatest possible place that you can imagine, won't it be Goloka Vrindavan? Well, Krishna's there. It's simple village life. Sweetness, intimate, love, exchanges, all different flavors of love, very intimate with God. So this is Krishna. You know, this is Krishna. You know, I remember I read a letter that Prabhupada wrote on this point of him saying that it didn't feel like it was perfect, static, it was dynamic, it was moving, and even there was some clumsiness or things like this, but it was playful. Like when you play with somebody, right? It's not always perfect. I play with my son a lot now. So just fooling around and toss him around and surprise him. It's very sweet. I love it. I can do that for hours, actually, for hours. I love to play. So Prabhupada, he wrote in a letter about perfectionism. He said, Goloka Vrindavan is not perfect. He said, Brahma Jyoti, that is perfect. In the Brahma Jyoti, the spiritual light, you cannot find any flaws. It is completely untouched by anything material. It is just pure spiritual light, perfection. But Goloka Vrindavan is not perfection. Prabhupada said there are many mistakes that are made. Like he gave the example, when the gopis are eager to see Krishna, they may go running towards him and they're not properly, their dress is, the way they dressed is disorderly. It's not prepared, it's not ready. It's not perfect. And Krishna playing with his friends, you know. You can see in the pastimes, there are these exchanges. I was hearing recently when Krishna was playing with his friends, they like to wrestle. So all the cowherd boys, they just created this, like an arena. And they were all outside of this arena, like a circle. And then one boy came into the center and said, I challenge any of you other boys to a fight. Nobody can defeat me. And then Shridam stepped forward. And everybody cheered. There's going to be a good fight. And Sridham came into the center and was fighting with this other boy, and Sridham pinned him down, got down, and defeated him, and all the boys were cheering, "Sridham, Jai Sridham." So then Krishna said, "Get out of my way," moved all the boys out of the way, said, "Sridham, the earth is trembling underneath my feet. The clouds, they scatter when I raise my arms. There's no way you can defeat me. I will defeat you on this very day." And all the boys get excited. Now Krishna's going to fight with Sridham. So Krishna comes to the center, and they start wrestling and grabbing and pulling each other. And then Sridham also pinned Krishna, got him down on the ground, and kind of got his knees on him and then put up his arms. "I have defeated Krishna." All the boys were cheering, "Jai Sridham, Jai, you are so glorious, you have defeated Krishna." And then Krishna got up and he kind of dusted off his arms and he said, "Actually, he did not defeat me, because his nose, his face and his nose was looking down, but my face is looking up. That is the rule of the fight." And then, "What is this? What are you talking about, Krishna? That's not the rule. That's not how it works. You were pinned down." He said, "No, my face was looking up. How can I be defeated?" His head was down like this. And Krishna found some way to, you know, cheat. He's cheating. He's cheating. Everyone knows it. You know, see, Goloka Vrindavan has this dynamic. Cheating, playing. You know, people are not so straightforward in Goloka Vrindavan. Like when the gopis see Krishna, you know, they don't say, "Oh, good day to you. You nice to see you." Instead, they'll just, I was hearing a story that when Gopi, she saw Krishna coming, and she said, "Oh," she had ghee that she was going to give to some sages for a sacrifice. She said, "Oh, Krishna's coming, get away. Don't let him get near this ghee, because if the wind blows, because Krishna's so impious, if the wind blows from him and it touches this ghee, it will be contaminated." So this is the highest level of reality, because it is so sweet, isn't it? Don't you remember being a child and used to play? You know, it depends on, of course, our upbringing and what was happening, because this material world is painful in many ways, and things can happen where maybe that wasn't a pastime of yours. But playing, you're just free and you're playing and it's sweet. So actually, in that story of Krishna wrestling with his cowherd friends, one sage, Rishi, Durvas Rishi, appeared there because he was traveling and he heard that God also has this, he's in Goloka Vrindavan. So Durvas Rishi went there and he couldn't believe his eyes. This is a great yogi with all mystic powers, long beard and dreadlocks, and he comes to Goloka Vrindavan. He's walking through and he sees the cowherd boys wrestling, and he just sits down and he glances at Krishna. And he just begins to cry. What is this? This is God. How can this be God? He's playing. He just lost. He just lost the wrestling match. And Krishna and Sridham, they saw when they were arguing over who actually won, they saw Durvas Rishi there. And they said, "Oh, there's some old yogi there. He was sitting there watching, so let's go ask him who won." So they went over to him and sat on his lap, and they grabbed his beard. They said, Baba, who won? Who won the fight? You saw everything, right?" And he just can't speak. He's choked up. He can't believe he's being touched now by Krishna. Krishna's on his lap. God is on his lap. And he's so moved. And then Sridham grabbed his beard from the other side and said, "Baba, tell us, what's wrong with you?" Krishna said, What are you, deaf? You're some deaf Baba? You can't hear us? We're asking you, who won the fight?" He couldn't speak. And then Krishna just jumps off. This Baba is useless. He can't understand or hear anything. So these are the sweet pastimes of Krishna. So Varaha Dev also, there's some playing here, you know. So he jumps into the Garbhodaka ocean to retrieve the earth and to fight with Hiranyaksha. They say, pigs like to swim, actually. Did you know that? And there's a place in the Bahamas where you can, it's like a tourist, offering for tourists, that you can swim with the pigs, some island. Apparently they like to do this for fun. So Varaha Dev, you know, he jumps in and he picks up the earth. He sees, how does he find the earth? By smelling, right? This is another pastime of the pigs and the hogs. They smell, they have very strong sense of smell. They use hogs to find truffles. You know truffles? What is a truffle? Some kind of mushroom or something? Yeah, I think so. But it can be 3 feet deep, and they'll put some hogs there, and they're actually called truffle hogs. And they're used to find. Dogs also have a good sense of smell. They can also find these. But especially these hogs are known. So this is, you know, all of these, Krishna's doing all of these things. The Lord is doing all these things in this form. So he's smelling, where's the earth, where's the earth? And then he sees it, finds it, picks it up in his tusks, and he comes up into the air. And this is the verse today. This, it's almost like an image of victory, right? Lord Brahma was wondering, what should I do? How can I get this earth out? There's a nice purport there in that section where Brahma is wondering what to do. And Prabhupada says he was very perplexed. He didn't know what to do, but he was not discouraged, Brahma. I always thought that's a nice way. Whenever you're in a situation of trying to figure out what to do or how to do it, Brahma was thinking, what should I do? I don't know. So he was perplexed, but he wasn't discouraged. Why? Because God exists, so anything is possible. You find yourself making a difficult decision, or you're in some situation you don't know what to do, you search your own heart, try to understand the best as you can, but we don't become hopeless, because God could also reveal something to us. So never hopelessness. Hopelessness always means, a deep hopelessness is atheism. It always means no God. If we feel there's no hope at all. But in some situation where you're perplexed, there's always some revelation that could come to not perfectly solve the situation maybe, but it gives you the right path to take. And you'll feel fine. You'll be okay. So we feel perplexed because we get hopeless because we think it's all dependent on me. But if you actually know God is there, believe in God, and he's in your heart, so we may get a little perplexed, but we're never fully discouraged, never hopeless. So Brahma, he wasn't sure what to do with himself, but he began to meditate on the Supreme Lord. And then the Lord comes out from his body in the form of this boar, very tiny at first, and then grows gigantic. To help him, he jumps into the Garbhodaka ocean, huge ocean. Finds the earth, jumps out. And then we have this image, which is actually a deity, that you can see this deity many places in India, the deity of Lord Varaha Dev. He's like the protector of the earth. So those who appreciate, you know, ecology and things like this, taking care of the earth, the Ishta Dev for you is Lord Varaha Dev. His names are also always connected to Bhumi. He has one name, Dharani Dada. I have a friend, Veer Bajaram Prabhu. Many of you know him. He named his daughter Dharani, which is a name for the earth. And so this name for Lord Varaha Dev is Dharani Dada, the one who holds the earth. He eternally upholds the earth. He is the protector of the earth. It's also said that he's the husband of the earth. Anyone here been to Tirupati? Yes, a few people here. So when you go see the famous deity there, Venkateshwar, you go up high into the hill, top of the hill, and the custom there is there's a Varaha Dev temple, And you have to first go there to Varaha Dev Temple. That's the first place you visit, and then you can go see Venkateshwar. And they say, it's said that Venkateshwar Prabhu, Venkateshwar made this arrangement that first you come to Varaha, offer your respects, because it said that Varaha gave him permission to be in that place, Venkateshwar. So it's called the Varaha Swami Temple. So this is all throughout India, you go to various parts and you'll see carved images of Varaha Dev holding the earth, protecting the earth. He's a very wonderful form of the Lord, incarnation, Lila Avatar. Yes. He's also very much connected. Whenever he's mentioned in the Shastra, he's often connected to yajna, sacrifice. And we'll see the verses that are to follow tomorrow, the next day, you'll see his body is considered to be the place of yajna, sacrifice. And it's also mentioned here, right, in today's verse. It says he's referred to as yajna bhavana, one who is understood by the performance of sacrifice. It's said that his tongue is the plate of sacrifice. And you make the offering, and then as he chooses what was offered, that is the Agnihotra sacrifice. So there's always, he has a few things related to him, the earth sacrifice and the Vedas also. He's considered the personified Vedas. Why is that? I was looking through the purports in this chapter to see if there's anything about that. Because it says here in today's verse also, you are moving in your form of the personified Vedas. Why is he always related to the Vedas? I found in one purport, it's just a few verses back actually, but Prabhupada explained, when Mahavishnu breathes out, all the universes come, but also in the sound of his breath, that is the Veda, the vibration of the Veda. So now, after that, Lord Brahma, he breathes in that vibration and he becomes Veda Garbo. Then Brahma becomes the reservoir of the Vedas. And now here in this section, now Brahma is breathing out through the nose, and then this form appears of Lord Varaha Dev. So again, the Vedas come out in a personified form now as Varaha. So this is why it's mentioning here, you are the moving personified Vedas. Right? The Vedas are a vibration, a transcendental vibration. And it's said to be inside of Brahma. He took it in with the breath of Mahavishnu. He took in the Vedas and now he's breathing out, and coming out is Lord Varaha Dev. That's the connection. And he, you know, so he comes out and he's holding the earth in his tusks, his curved white tusks. And he turns bluish at that point. And this is where the sages, it's described, the sages then could understand for sure that this is Lord Narayan. Already just seeing the wonderful activities, they could understand. But also he kind of took on a bluish form. Understanding this is Lord Narayan, they begin to offer these prayers. These prayers, and we can just look at the word for word. I'm going to stop a little early today. I've been requested that I'm not giving much time after for some discussion, and so I'm trying to remember that today. Thank you for that suggestion. So the word for word I just want to look at. So it says, Rishaya Uchuhu. So the sages are now offering beautiful prayers. Because at the devastation, all the universes, all the planets go into the Garbhaduk ocean and are resting there. But the higher planets are still not, they don't go into the ocean. They're still there. So Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka remains at the end of Brahma's day when everything else is devastated. So they're actually watching all of this and seeing this. They're getting darshan of Varaha Dev. So that's why it's them offering these prayers. So Jitam Jitam, all glories, all victories. Te, unto you. Ajita. So jitam, ajita, it's like a play on words here. You are victorious always, and you are Ajita. You are never defeated. You are undefeatable, unconquerable. Yajna Bhavana, we just explained that. He has a connection to Yajna, one who is understood by the performance of sacrifice. It's always, you can only understand God by the performance of sacrifice. No other way, not by intelligence, not by sincerity. Performance of sacrifice, there's a method always. And in this age, the sacrifice is the Sankirtan Yajna. That's why it's called Yajna. So if we offer ourselves in the fire of the Sankirtan Yajna, this is the sacrifice in this age. It's also like a fire. It's considered to be a seven-flamed fire. The fire of Sankirtan has seven flames. Those are seven benefits that are there for the chanting, while you chant, as you chant. There are seven benefits that will begin to awaken. Those are all found in the first verse of the Shikshastakam. Cheto Darpanam Marjanam. This whole verse gives seven different effects from chanting. So sacrifice, it's always the way, but in every age it has to change because the mentality of the people changes. So we're no longer with the ghee and in the sacrifice, the fire, and this is not the method anymore, but it's still sacrifice, but it's Sankirtan Yajna, the sacrifice of the chanting of the holy name. So then he's called here Trayam Tanum, the body of the Vedas. We also just described why that is so. Paridunvate, and this body is shaking, it says here. Why? Because he's doing this, he's jumping into the water, he's grabbing the earth, he's shaking, and he's roaring too. He just killed Hiranyaksha. And the description is here, for those who like the Vira Rasa, the rasa of chivalry, they can appreciate that he has blood smeared on him. You know, warriors and fighters, and they have a good fight, and some blood is sometimes comes from it. They can take it and lick it just to show that, yes, more, bring more. This is the Kshatriya spirit. So, you know, some of us think it's strange, but actually all athletes understand this kind of thing. You know, when there's a good match, a good boxing match or whatever, you want a good fight. You want somebody to be the best, and if you can defeat them, and there may be blood, but that gets you actually more excited. So this is a different rasa, Vira rasa. Not for everybody. I remember my wife one time was trying to read this section of Mahabharata. And it was like warriors fighting and, you know, crazy things were happening. And she said, I can't believe this is our scripture. This is not for me. She had to put it down. It was too extreme, the description of the fighting and the battles. But Krishna's everything and he attracts everybody. So some people who can understand that, they're like, wow, this is wonderful, this fighting scene. For somebody, something else will do that. Yeah, he's the, for mothers, you know, that if you're in that motherly love, maybe you should just hear about Yashoda and and Krishna, their exchanges. So, and then there's Yad Roma Garteshu. There's also this comparison. The sages are realizing that this form of Raha is non-different from Mahavishnu. Tasmai Namaha Karana Sukaraya Te. Therefore, we're offering our obeisances to this form. Sukaraya, the form of a hog. Karana, it comes for different reasons. You've come for different reasons. Why did he come? He comes always for different reasons. Krishna accomplishes many things simultaneously when he comes. Right? Brahma was perplexed, didn't know what to do, so in one sense he came from the request of Brahma. He also came to kill Hiranyaksha, was causing some chaos. He's also coming out of his own desire to play, as we talked about. These avatars, the Leela avatars. You know, when someone's very playful and they're playing and you say, why did you just do that? There's no answer. I'm playing. I play. I like to play. So that's also there in Krishna. So he comes for many reasons. So let's see, we have about, I'll mention one more thing and then we'll open it up for any discussion or comments or any questions you may have. I just wanted to make one point about hearing that I read recently and appreciated and wanted to share. Actually, the first verse of this chapter, Vidura, is glorified as Vasudev Katha Adrita. Sukadev Goswami says, Vidura, because he loves to hear, he adores to hear the pastimes of the Lord. He's asking more questions, and that's why this story is being told. He wants to know more details. He has this inclination. This is the greatest blessing in our life, if we have this inclination to hear. It's very sacred. It's a gift, and it could be cultivated. And Jiva Goswami, this is what I wanted to mention, he gives 8 degrees of hearing. It's called the optimization of hearing. All of them are great, but he's also showing how this one is great, but this one's better, and then this one's better, and then this one's better. And he finally comes to the 8th, which is the best possible hearing. And it's nice to hear this because wherever we are, we can think, oh, what's the next one? Maybe I should have that as an aspiration. And I shouldn't just think, well, I hear, that's enough. He says, to hear about the first one, to hear about the glories of the Lord, you know, just to hear about the incarnations, just like we're hearing now, the glories of the Lord, from anyone, anywhere, that is supremely auspicious. Paramashreya, that is auspicious. But even better than that, is to hear the articles and the commentaries, the essays of the very elevated devotees. That's interesting, right? If you hear from somebody about, they're talking a pastime of the Lord, just anybody sharing it. But if you're hearing from a pure devotee, something that was written by them, because they're, in some ways they're more approachable and they're giving us a certain understanding according to our nature. Whereas the pastimes are just the pastimes. You hear them, you might think, well, this is crazy, or this is amazing, whatever it may be. But if someone's explaining something to you from a pure place, then you can start to maybe get closer to Krishna. So that's number 2, is to hear those articles and things written. Number 3 is to hear those articles and those commentaries and those essays or papers. They're written by those great devotees, and then to hear them from the mouth, read or recited from the mouth of a pure devotee directly. So you're not just reading it on your own. Now a pure devotee is actually hearing it and explaining it. That's the 3rd. The 4th one is to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That is above all those. If you just hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And again, that could mean from anywhere, anyone. If just like now we're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. That's 4th. 5th is to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from the lips of a pure devotee. Right? Prabhupada. Prabhupada giving Bhagavatam class. Anyone was there for Prabhupada's Bhagavatam class in person? Here? Yes, Mataji. So to sit there and to hear a pure devotee speak Bhagavatam, that is the 5th. What could be higher than that, right? You might wonder. Well, he says, so this next one is dependent on, it implies that you've taken diksha and that in your relationship with your spiritual master, a taste for a particular form of the Lord is developing. Because the 6th one, are we at 5 or 6? Yeah, 6. So the 6th one is that you're hearing the Bhagavatam from a pure devotee, and they're speaking from a section, or they're speaking of a form of the Lord that you consider yours, your Ishtadev. So that form of the Lord that's most dear to you, say you love Lord Nrisingadev, you are a Nrisingadev Bhakta, and a pure devotee is now telling the pastime from the Bhagavatam of Lord Nrisingadev. That's even greater than just hearing. The 7th is that now you're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from the pure devotee, and you're hearing just that form of the Lord that you consider, that you cherish the most, and the person speaking has the same attraction as you. That is the seventh. And the eighth and final is that wherever you are, whatever your attraction is, if you're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from a pure devotee of Krishna who is speaking about the pastimes of Krishna, that is the highest hearing possible. Because Krishna's Purna avatar, he is the complete whole. And wherever you are, whatever is happening, if you have that chance, if you have that opportunity, you cannot hear anything superior to that. If a pure devotee of Krishna is speaking about the pure pastimes from the Bhagavatam about Krishna, and if you are there, we have to find out, how will we do this? We should be eager. Hearing this, we should think, how can I put myself in that situation? I have to find it. Not that my life is over now and I just have my little life, and we have to seek the association of devotees and put ourselves in these situations, because it's the best possible blessing. So we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Any questions, thoughts, comments?
It seems that the eighth one is the same as the fifth one, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from the lips of a pure devotee. What's the eighth? Say that
yes.
Again.
Yes, so the eighth, the difference between the fifth and the eighth is that the eighth is speaking to the person that they're speaking to, the person who's hearing, right? They have a particular attraction. Right, they have I see what you're saying.
That's the seventh.
I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah. Okay, now I understand what you're saying now. So, specifically Krishna is the difference.
Oh.
You're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, you can be reading just, you know, philosophical verses and so forth, but hearing specifically about the pastimes of Krishna. Yeah.
Also, as you came through this, directly from that pure devotee, that was three, different from number two, which was hearing those articles and comments and essays
mm-hmm.
of a pure devotee.
Yes.
But directly from there, sitting in front of them.
Mm.
So there was some, controversy about.
I think I know where you're going, but go ahead.
Okay, well, you know, hearing Prabhupada's tapes.
Mm. Yeah.
One has to be hearing from a living person. Mm-hmm. You get it?
Yes.
So you know already what I'm saying.
Yes. Yes, that is a little controversial, I guess, for some people. Definitely, let me put it this way. We can hear Prabhupada when we go home today, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I told you that Prabhupada was going to be speaking here personally tomorrow morning, would that make any difference? For us, wouldn't the whole community show up for that?
Yeah.
Even though we can hear him directly at any time through a tape or through a, mm-hmm. you know, would we not be eager? This temple, forget it, right? Prabhupada himself is coming. Mm-hmm. Get close, mm-hmm. watch him, hear the vibration. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something also said about the vibration, that in the vibration, which means literally the vibration, like when I'm speaking, there's a vibration. In the vibration, there is love of God, yeah. You know? It's like there's a special... So all the hearing is good. Any way we hear is good. But this traditionally is considered the best possible hearing, to be sitting at the feet of a person, to have that kind of very intimate, close exchange. And in the vibration, that vibration is carrying love for God. It's carrying, you know, bhakti. It has bhakti in the vibration. So it's actually carried in the air. There's a Bhagavatam verse also, it says, in the air is carried from the lips. In the air is carried this shakti.
Saffron dust particles.
Yes, exactly, that verse. And you know, there are other things too, because to get, like I was saying at the end, to get that association, we have to kind of perform an austerity. You know, I could be sitting in my bed, air condition on, lying back, you know, air condition is just right, feeling comfortable late at night, got my eyes closed, listening to a lecture, mm-hmm. You know, just maybe a little blanket just for my feet, just to stay really comfortable, and I'm listening to this katha. But there's something to be said that I got to find these devotees, to get up, to go to make an austerity. Maybe I should go to India, Vrindavan, and hear about Krishna there from this devotee who I consider much more elevated than myself. Let me go and make that sacrifice. Let me sit there, whatever, and then hear in the presence of the person. You know, it's not that sadhu sangha it's not easy to be around. You know, I always look forward to my spiritual master coming to New York. Every year he would come, and I had the opportunity to travel with him and serve him and things like that. But I always looked forward to that. But after 6 or 7 days or 10 days, I have to say it was very difficult to be in such pure association. You know, he's just like going, 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 giving, giving, giving. I'm getting tired. I'm struggling a little. You know, it's like to really make that sacrifice, that austerity, to be willing to do whatever it's taken, then to sit and hear. It's like you're almost rewarded with this grace that is not possible in any other way. You know, I listen to lectures sometimes, lying on my back, stretching out. It's good. It's all good. It's all good. The vibration is transcendental. But when you start to really think, traditionally, this is really what it meant, is to really sit there and hear and be eager. And you've done something to get there. You're searching. My point is there's something really to be said about the power of that, you know. So
thank you for that.
Yes, Hare Krishna.
This is not a question. I think more on appreciating. I don't have to put the word together. It's so amazing that how Krishna is so merciful and always, I mean, I'm already in that situation. For months, I have a hard time, and then you just speak. It's like Krishna is just using you to talk to me. And even though I try hard, I'm sorry, everything in my power, and I forget that I think I'm the doer. Krishna just telling me through you that I just simply surrender whatever difficulties I have. Thank you for that.
Yes. Well, it wasn't a question, it was an appreciation of a reminder, appreciating the reminder when life gets difficult or going through something, then the need to just completely surrender to the Lord and trust the Lord. Because we think often that we are the doer, we are the controller. You know, just like we were saying with Lord Brahma, right? We get depressed and struggle when we think that it's all up to me. And so we have to do our part and do what we can, use our intelligence, and also to completely let go and surrender to the Lord. And then Krishna can do very surprising things when we have that spirit of surrender. So yeah, thank you, Mataji. It's good. It's good for all of us to hear that, to be reminded of that. Hare Krishna. Yeah.
I guess the thing that struck me about the verses is not only you're saying there's play, but there seems to be an awful lot of color.
Yes.
Yeah. So they describe there was red, there was white, there was blue, there was purple.
Purple.
Purple earth. So I was really appreciating, yeah, wow. I mean, there isn't anything stagnant, you know, there isn't, you know, there is, like, Krishna just really wants to really wow us or you know, whatever the word would be, you know, because he's...
Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's this material world which is pale and stagnant compared to the spiritual reality, you know? Everything seems live and bright. This is called jagat. This is called jada. Yeah. This means this kind of things are actually kind of dead. You know, imagine what it would be like to open your eyes and to be in the spiritual world. The colors, the taste, the sounds.
And I guess when he said the blood, you touched on that, because when it first fell upon my ears, I was like, well, that's almost like a contaminating source. So surely, I mean, he could have bypassed that, you know, having that,
right.
You know, but again, he chose the whole experience not to leave, you know, whatever that whole experience is. It includes that. It doesn't make it any, it doesn't make it impure.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, another thing to kind of wrap your head around as we go through, you know, life or and witness other devotees' lives, that it doesn't necessarily make it, going through the purification doesn't necessarily make it not beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the other thing you were talking about was when Bhaktivinoda Thakur, my mind, that poem, you know, my mind, you're not a devotee, right?
Mm.
And sometimes, you know, I guess we all find ourselves realizing sometimes we are great pretenders, probably 99.9% of the time. But, you know, whatever that point one is, you know.
Yeah.
It's just pure mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that drop of mercy can do everything. It's just that, you know, some mercy's been given. Yeah, like I was saying, you know, it's just this honesty. The honesty is what's important. We're all fallen. This is the place of the fallen souls, the material world. So that's not a surprise. But with honesty, we come and we're eager, therefore, then to hear and to chant. And we just take that one drop of sincerity, and that will blossom. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, I was warned to behave myself here. I was warned to behave myself.
Oh, okay. A little warning you got, huh?
Yeah, I was going to make a joke. I'm going to try not to cry, but
okay.
I won't. I can make you all cry, but I don't know if I can cry. But I was thinking, you know, the tape controversy. I mean, holy cow. I mean, Prabhupada spent so much energy writing these books, you know, to give the association. Then when you read and you hear, you enter the association.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the other hand, if you're sitting, let's say a friend writes you a letter, and you're reading the letter, but then they show up at the door, knock on the door, you don't say, hey, man, I'm reading your letter. I don't have time to go answer the door. Can you come back later? You know, it's like if the person's actually there, you want to engage with them.
Mm-hmm.
If you actually have that relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Yeah, I appreciate that.
There's also something about the seat, the Bhagavatam seat, this asana that everybody, every day, Srila Prabhupada has designed for somebody to come and sit there.
Mm.
I mean, Srila Prabhupada himself, I'm told that he would listen, have his disciples give the class, and he would listen.
Mm.
So there's something about the seat. So even when we're sitting there, we've been asked to sit and speak the Bhagavatam, even if we are not, we're not on the pure level, but the fact is that we're trying to repeat. So, and when you say those nice prayers before you start the class, you know, let it enliven, let it be according to the parampara. When one is sitting down in the seat, then that is pure Bhagavatam coming. That is pure. So even that we may not be pure, but if we're repeating and we're sincere, then that is pure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj, he mentions that how he makes the point that when the Bhagavatam is spoken, it is Krishna himself speaking. That's interesting. He says that. He says, so when Brahma spoke to Narada, it is Krishna who is speaking.
Mm-hmm.
When Narada is speaking to the next, it's Krishna speaking. So he was making the point that actually it's Krishna speaking.
Yes.
So as long as there is one is pure in the sense of repeating and sincere while repeating the words of the acharyas, then it is, the seat is. And sometimes you feel when you're sitting in the Bhagavatam and you speak, you sometimes think, you know, it's not you speaking. Mm. You know, you feel like it's not me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even remember, at least I don't remember what I spoke the day before, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know. So mm-hmm. as long as that sincerity is there, then yes, it's important that we sit next to the person who is speaking the Bhagavatam. We sit present, you know.
Mm.
That's what it says, tadvidhi pranipatena pariparshena sevaya. I know the word comes upasate, but you sit next to the person,
mm-hmm.
like you said. So, yeah, it's very important to sit in person. Thank you. That.
Yeah, thank you. That's a verse in the Bhagavatam, 12th canto, where it lists all the parampara of the Bhagavatam. But if you look closely at the Sanskrit, it doesn't say Narada Muni, it says the form of Narada Muni. It's referring that Bhagavan is speaking through the form of Narada Muni. And Bhagavan is speaking through the form of Shukadeva, because he's... But he's the one writing. He doesn't... Shukadev is mentioned because it's Sutta Goswami who's reciting the verse. And Sutta Goswami leaves himself out of humility. But every name that's mentioned, if you look at the Sanskrit, we take it that, you know, Brahma spoke to Narada, Narada spoke Vyasadev, but it's actually saying that through those forms, God spoke. They were just, you know, they were just instruments to reveal. Yeah, so it's true. That's actually a verse. So it's a very nice point. And that's possible, you know, when we come together and we hear in the right spirit, the right mood, we're really open. It's always a two-way for the transmission, for the real magic, you know, to take place. The qualified speaker and the, you know, there's this term Satguru, but there's also the term Satshishya. Satguru means that the true guru, but also the true disciple. And when those two things are both there, when we're in the right consciousness, receptive, open, faith, and even the speaker may not be, still something can come through to you from that consciousness. And, you know. So. Hare Krishna. Jai Prabhu. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
There you go.
Thank you so much for the wonderful class. I sincerely appreciate it. So, regarding this eight forms of the hearing, I had the same question as Mataji. What was the difference between fifth and eighth? But thanks for clarifying.
It directly Krishna, because he's Purna Avatar. He's the complete whole, whereas this Bhagavatam has, just like we're hearing about Varaha, but there's a speciality in just hearing about Krishna, because he's the full, complete embodiment of all rasas.
And also one comment on that. Hearing... Vani and Vapu, like hearing the Vani, what's the difference? And you explain the difference. And that is, I'm also thinking, I've heard that one of the other differences, like in Vani, what if we have some questions, you don't get clarified, but in spiritual master is in front, then even if there is some misunderstandings, you can get it clarified. Mm. Ask the questions and then get it clarified.
That was
one thing.
That's a good point.
Yeah. There are two questions I have. I want to know the references about these eight types of hearing. What is a spiritual reference? I mean, who gave this reference?
Yeah, that's Jiva Goswami in the Bhakti Sandarbha. Yeah, when he talks about bhakti, he talks about shravanam.
Okay.
And he talks about these eight, the optimization of shravana. What is the best possible hearing levels, degrees of hearing?
Okay. Yeah. And the second question is about the breathing. So the Lord is Varahadev, as you have mentioned in this verse, like he's carrying or the personified of the Vedas, like he's carrying the Vedas, and the explanation what you have given is like because he's coming, because Brahma has inhaled the Vedas, and now when he's exhaling, the Varaha is coming from his nostrils, taking the Vedas and moving forward, right?
Yes.
So where is this reference?
That's a purport in this chapter, so I'll have to find it. I didn't write it down, but that's where I got it from Prabhupada. Yeah, and I'm not sure. Of course, Prabhupada, when he would have many commentaries open when he was dictating Bhagavatam, and he would give his own realizations, but also he was looking at different, so I'm not sure exactly if he got it from another acharya or something, but I can point out the purport to you. Yes, bro.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Yes, Swataji.
A quick note. Yeah, well, so many questions for a good class. A quick note about Krishna talking through you, even if you're not prepared. Mm. This is not about Srimad Bhagavatam, but about book distribution. When we were doing book distribution at the Miami Airport with Nartaka, who's my teacher on that, we would approach some people and would say, oh, you're a doctor, right? You're an engineer, or you're... And they would say, how do you know that, you know? And we just knew, you know? It was like kind of weird and magical at the same time.
Wow.
Okay, my other comment is about sincerity, association, and the power of the holy name. My brother was had surgery, eye surgery, and something went wrong. So they messaged me yesterday. He's 82, older than me. And he acted like my brother when I was a child because my father left when I was 1 year old. So as soon as they told me, I thought I have to pack, I have to go, you know. Even if he died, I have to be there for the funeral. So I ran to my host and I said, this is what's happening. And she brought me to reality. And this is how association is so important too, because I got overwhelmed because it was family, you know. This is like a doctor or some, you know, professionals, they cannot treat their own family because sometimes they get overwhelmed by that relationship. Yes. So my host said, okay, Mahatma, so let's pray. Because this is what we do. We pray for others, you know. Mm. So it was fantastic because it brought me to reality and I said, okay, so we pray, we say the Maha Mantra and everything. 2 hours later, they called me that everything was stabilized.
Mm.
He was fine and he's going to make it. But
wow.
Yeah, association, power of, you know, the power of the holy name and everything. The women are full of questions, Prabhu, sorry.
Thank you. Thank you for a wonderful class again. I just wanted to say, speaking about, you know, being in, hearing in person, that this is 1 year now for me since I made some adjustment at my work schedule so that I could be in the class.
Mm.
And I just want to say that I really feel the difference and I feel, I just feel the change and, yeah, so I don't know, I guess I just, not glorifying myself, but just want to put that out there, that it's very powerful.
Mm.
It's very powerful, and it's really true. My Guru Maharaj used to say, even if a neophyte gives class, still there's benefit, which is why I agreed to start giving class.
Mm.
But, yeah, and it's just, it doesn't matter who's speaking, although your class was wonderful.
Mm.
And but always there's something to be gotten, and I'm just very grateful. Thank you.
Jai. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, it always says, right? Hearing and chanting in the association of devotees.
Yeah, I often, and I know everyone must have experienced this, that if you regularly come to the class, even it's not something... Some classes you'll walk away with a mantra, a quote, something, repeat it, and you know, give it to another. But sometimes it's not even what the speaker said, but Krishna answers something, and he comes through with something, just like, you know, Mother experienced, you know. But yeah, it's very powerful.
True. That's very true. Sometimes some of the... that when I'm really able to focus and hear a class nicely, nothing is remembered, but I felt like washed by the whole experience. Something stays with you and changes you. And it's like sometimes you focus so much, you don't, you know. I used to always write notes and try to remember, and then I just said, you know, let go and just take it in and just trust. Krishna will give what's needed. Jai Prangovin Prabhu.
I was just thinking, it's already late.
Yes.
Should I give one comment or question? I have both.
Oh, comments. Your comments are always so nice.
Comment will be that we are known by our association. That's the theme, or most of it. Mm. We are known by our association, but then question comes, Barhadev is Supreme Personality of Godhead. His wife is Bhushakti, the earth. How they raised the child that became a demon, biggest demon. Narakasura is one of the biggest demons. Mm. So I was trying to find out, like, what went wrong? Mm. So I look at Advaita Acharya's 6 sons, 3 are shara, or essential, good, important, ashara, useless. Or Prabhupada translated as useless. So I was digging information, why 3 sons of his Mahavishnu incarnation became useless and 3 sons became greatest. Mm. So, okay, their philosophical big difference. And that we don't accept. They accepted, they will not sacrifice. Even Advaita Acharya could not turn it. So I was just curious, Barahadev, why didn't he raise? I'm not accusing my Lord, please forgive me. I don't mean. Why he did not try to train him as a nice devotee or saint? Or what didn't work? Mm-hmm. Advaita Acharya's case, I found out. Mm. I traced it. This is a long discussion, but the essence is he did not accept Lord Chaitanya as his origin supreme. He accepted as a Radharani's incarnation. I mean, which is not a completely false, but it's some truth is there. And Advaita Acharya told them that, no, don't accept this. This is not a guru. No, Father, we will accept this. So, okay, he rejected them. Mm. But what went wrong with Narakasura? Mm. Just curious. He's the only son of Barahadev. Mm. He became because demon. Yeah. Why not? Saint.
Oh, I know. I thought you said you were doing research.
Oh, the comment was that there is a verse in Harinam Chintamani. Bhakta deha bhakta dehete hai Krishna re shakati shei deha hoite hai Krishna bhakti. When why important is physical proximity association than just bani. Mm. I'm not against or putting into it. It says that just like Prabhupada told to Tamalkesha Maharaj that he twisted his ear. Yes. I cannot do this through the bani.
Yes.
So did Prabhupada not say that? Yes, he said that. It's recorded.
Yes.
Prabhupada said, I cannot correct you through my bani.
Yes.
Physically I have to do. So that's a maybe technical. But the other part is, when we say Krishna coming from the mouth of a saint to through the ear to my heart, it's actually the energy. Mm. Krishna comes in the form of energy. Mm. In 7.99, Prabhupada asked that question himself and he answered. Mm. He says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled and delivered thousands of people. Now our Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, also delivering thousands of people through his disciple. Mm. He didn't mention his name. I don't know who else was doing, only him. So then Prabhupada said, what is that means, delivering? In that lecture you can hear. Mm. And then he said, delivering means this 3 potency transmitting from the heart of the pure devotee to the conditioned soul. Mm. The computer or a typewriter cannot do that. Mm. Because there has to have a feeling who I'm talking and that person is seeking. Mm. If you look at it with the conclusion of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that Guru Jayanta and this Gop Kumar, Gop Kumar says finally, Gurudev, I'm hearing this so many days. Mm. Can I experience more than explanation? Can I have that experience? Mm. Gurudev, and he cried, he fell. Guru embraced him. And then he felt so grateful that he paid obeisances. Mm. When he woke up, there was no Beshashan, there was no Guru, nobody. There was a Jamuna river. Mm. And he was shocked. He saw Krishna playing. And Krishna is saying, wait, my friend is coming. So how this whole thing changed? Because the power transmitted. Mm. Prabhupada gave a beautiful, the way he said, that this 3 potency has to transmit from the heart of a realize soul to the conditioned soul.
Mm. Yeah.
Of course, he can do that without being physically present.
No.
Yes, he can.
No.
No, he can.
Because the person has to have a feeling that the person recipient needs it.
Mm. No. I will physically give it to him. Yeah, but you know, it's not like the disciples, their relationship and the correction by the guru ends when he's physically not there. Mm-hmm. That energy is still transmitted. The heart-to-heart relationship continues. So maybe you're just a neophyte, I don't know. Just
Pran Govinda Prabhu's question about Narkasura, I think Ghanshyam Prabhu already answered that. It's Leela. And why I say Leela, I mean, why would Krishna appear as a hog from Lord Brahma's nose? I mean, what kind of thing is that? What's in the nose is boogie. So Krishna comes out like a boogie that comes and becomes big. Can you imagine how Krishna thinks? He's so playful. He's so playful. How boring that how Krishna's son is every time a devotee. I mean, this is exciting that he has a son, Narkasura, who's a demon. I mean, how playful. No, but it's just his playfulness. This is Leela. I think it's very exciting that his son is a demon. You know, I think that's pretty good. I like it. I like that Krishna comes as he's a boogie form and he comes out as Varaha and becomes big. That's Leela. That's Krishna's playfulness.
Jai. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.